everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. We're glad you're here. All of you. Every single one of you. You're so sweet. So amazing. So incredible that you would take time out of your day to listen to little old me and little old Brian as we help you usher yourself into a more dissentful life, a more openly radical life, and one that fights against all the bullshit that we got going on in this day and age. If you want to see us live, we will be doing so on April 20th, 420 at Trees in Columbus, Ohio. That's for real, 420 at Trees. We're doing a live show. 9 p.m. is when the doors will open. We'll probably go on around 10. We're also going to have special guests, Matt Chrisman, Kush Bomb from Chopper Trap House.
Ever heard of him?
And we're going to keep this thing rolling. I've got some good conversations happening right now in my text messages. So we have lots of things planned for the future. I will always let you know as soon as I get the information. And, you know, we are looking to reach out to other places. If you're in Buffalo, if you're in Louisville, if you're in Indianapolis and you know of a place that 100 people can get into and they people perform there, you know, we don't have our own like setup, but if a small place where we can perform and we would love to. So that's what we're looking for. Reach out to us, streetfightradio@gmail.com with that info. And, you know, the way that this train keeps moving is through people listening and then eventually being like, I want to support what these guys do. I want to get a little bit of Kratom or I want to get a zine. Every single month we publish a zine with writings from mostly Street Fight listeners and fans and a lot of our big wig buddies online and offline. And then we also send out bags of Kratom. It's a wonderful powder from Southeast Asia that will probably change your life. For most people, it does. So get on that by going to patreon.com/streetfightradio. And be there on 420. Please, we need motherfuckers to drive and shit. Like, let's make it a party. We'll figure something out.
Force Columbus to respect and support us this 420.
Yeah, we need to cause a ruckus this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be clamoring to get there. And we'll do a Q&A at the end as well with Matt and everything.
Hell yeah, it's going to be great. We do some these shows are always so fun. And I don't know if anybody ever leaves unhappy from a Street Fight Live show.
No, no way. Not possible at all.
Yes. Oh, man. Right before we're recording very late at night right now because I just got on my the hometown I grew up in. I just got on their webpage, their buy, sell, trade page.
Right.
Whew. If you have one at home on Facebook, you should join that group for your area because people sell some stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure I don't know how far people have dived into that, but if you in the Facebook tab, there is a buy sell area, and you probably won't find anything you want, but you will find a lot of things that you're interested in.
You'll find funny shit. Like this one person was selling stolen, what I believe to be stolen cleaning products, probably stolen from work, like a maid job, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you just steal those, selling them for lots of them for $20. And Brett and I were just sitting here doing the Price is Right, trying to figure out if it was worth the $20 or not.
Well, and it's like the Tide. Buckets of Tide have become like a currency in most places. Like they're worth, you know, money. Like people will accept that. It's like you could either give someone cash or it's like, I got four like 64-ounce jugs of Tide detergent. It's like, all right, that's fine. You can have an eighth then. Fine.
Well, it's the thing is with Craigslist, you have to be a person that wants to deal with all the hassle and like,
yes,
it's such a hassle,
yes,
to sell stuff on Craigslist. It's got a high cost of entry for people like me.
It goes through email. It's a little too anonymous sometimes. I think people just float into your life for a very weird few interactions and then they're gone, you know?
Yeah, and it just nobody's ever comfortable with the purchase ever. I never feel comfortable when I buy or sell things on eBay. It's always like
you mean Craigslist?
Craigslist. I'm sorry. And so like once
I'm a big Craigslister. I love the hell out of it. But well, it is like,
you are the type of person that can deal.
Yes.
Like, you're okay dealing with that sort of thing. I can't.
Yeah, and Facebook is the easiest way because you don't have to open up anything. You don't have to go and, like, get the full desktop browser out and sign up for email verifications or anything like that. You literally just take pictures of the garbage that you're sitting around and plop it right up there on the marketplace.
Yeah, and that's basically what's being sold, either stolen stuff or trash. You know what I mean?
People that are real sentimental about electronics for some reason.
Oh, yeah. They'll try
I waited first day to get this thing. I paid $700 for this PlayStation when it came out. And it's like, that was like 6 years ago. Yes. So why are you asking for $500 now? You know?
It's funny because, like, I know that a lot of times when I've been really, really broke, I'll go down to my basement and I got a stack of DVD players that I'll try to sell.
Sure, sure. I mean, them like $10 bills. That's like having a few $10 bills hidden in a safe space for, you know, like an emergency fund.
Basically money. Because, I mean, I don't even like DVDs. I don't know. Like, my DVDs I sold, like, right when I quit my job. I was like, I'm broke. I need a quick $100.
Yeah.
I went and I took every DVD I bought over the years, just a huge box full of DVDs. And I was like, here they are. And they're like, I'll give you $70 for that.
Yeah. There was a game I was really in love with called Valkyrie Profile, and it was limited edition. And I had the first one and it was like worth $70, so I sold it, and then I bought it again like a few years later, and then I sold it again, and I probably bought and sold that game 4 times in my life.
Yeah,
but it just because it was worth a lot of money, I was like, well, I can get like $30 for this weird Japanese video game that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
That other people want. Like, that's the same thing with records too. That's why sometimes it's hard to keep records around when it's like, I really love the way that record sounds, but I just happen to see it's worth $90 online, you know? So it's hard, you know, when you're in a pinch and they're about to shut the electric off, it's like, I don't really give a shit about having this record here. I don't need this special edition record.
What we're saying is broke people don't collect shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Our collections all suck.
Yeah, that's all waste. Like, yeah, people trying to sell baseball cards on Facebook and shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I know that, like, baseball cards are absolutely worthless. If you think the only real thing you have, if you have any, silverware.
Yeah, that is worth real money.
Like, I'll throw this out there.
He's a Porky Pig.
It's so hard to say. I sold antique silverware to just be melted down because I needed money. I'm like, they had wanted me to do that.
Yeah, they wanted me to do what felt right for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the same. I actually helped somebody sell all of their silverware on eBay. They were like, we need to make this car payment. And then I was like, well, you still got that silverware? And they're like, yeah, what do you mean? I'm like, I look for that stuff all the time when I'm at the thrift store to resell. You can get like thousands of dollars for it sometimes.
Yeah, and it's an antique.
Yeah, and it's real. It's still like, yeah, you can still get several hundred dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, and you feel terrible. Like, this thing made it through the Civil War.
Damn, yeah, that sucks. That's where capitalism destroys history. Right? Because imagine if you could go to like a government or to somewhere and just be like, I really just need like $200 for a car payment, but I'm thinking about melting down this Civil War antique. And you'd be like, no, nah, just give him the money. Just fine. Take it away from a Donald Trump's lunch or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Did you see Donald Trump wrote over his paycheck for $77,000?
He wrote over it.
So he got his paycheck and he signed it over to the Parks Service.
I saw that.
He cut $1.5 million from.
Yeah, it was dope. I mean, it was a good move, I thought. I mean,
makes him look good to like the people that already think everything
they
he does
him.
Is good.
Okay. This is so gracious of him. Yeah, I mean, he did say he was going to do it. So I thought that it was pretty much the most major asshole thing I've seen from like a major, like a political figure. I don't know if we've ever seen this kind of shittiness from a person. You know?
Why do we bring him in so that he can hand it over to the guy that runs the Parks Department too, where it's like, fucking, come on.
And this is Twitter beef shit too, because you know he knows about that account that they set up, the National Park Services Gone Dark or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it was called.
Yeah, Rogue.
Rogue, there it is.
Rogue National Park Service.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's from a movie. It's from a horrible movie called Everybody's Lives that lives under his regime.
I just got a kick out of him making the guy accept his stupid $77,000. Why didn't you give that to me?
Yeah, I like,
I'm trying to take him down. That's why you don't give it to the guy that's trying to take you down.
Right. I like, I think for me, the Facebook thing that I like is when people are selling stuff, it's only like $1 or $2. They'll just be like something like, I have all this leftover hotel shampoos. You know, it's really nice stuff. It's salon quality stuff. If you want to drop by between 5 and 8 on Wednesday, you can get 2 for $1.
Yeah, I just saw somebody selling travel size toothpaste. Not even selling them. You should just come and get them for free.
For
limit
free.
2 per household. It's like, you got time to be doling this stuff out, man? I mean, I'd be 10 minutes away from throwing in a dumpster at any given moment.
I like also people selling their Jordans. Like, I mean, I only wore these to the club 3 times, man. It's only $150 for these joints. It's like, dude, they're scuffed as fuck.
Yeah.
These shoes
these shoes. Don't tell me
nobody
your shoes.
Wanted that color. You got the clearance rack color. Now you're on here on Facebook trying to flex. Like, I run a little Jordan side hustle, you know?
Well, that's what I think is, I think that's what's fascinating about it. Like, Facebook is now a place where anything can get, like, that they're trying to make it more practical, more like a utility.
It's fucking AOL, man. This is just like what AOL was.
Yeah.
It was one place you go to, and it had all of these different areas to interact. You could just talk to people, or you could go and play games with people. You could buy and sell stuff, you know, but it was like just a little walled off garden that you, like, their little island that you go to do everything online, you know. It's like, it's the destination for people,
and it's why it's really why I love that page, because it's so
regular
weird.
Degular.
Well, yeah, and it's weirder, like, they called the Twitter subculture weird Twitter, but nothing's weirder than Facebook. There's nothing online that's weirder than Facebook. It's such a different kind of place. It's like Walmart, if for giving your opinions to everybody.
Yeah. It's a superstore.
It is.
Of all people. Yeah. They there's people that do like those divorce photo shoots now where they're like, I saw a lady that was drinking a bottle of gin and like throwing a match on something that was in, she was wearing lingerie and burning all of her man's stuff in a front yard. And this was like a Facebook photo shoot.
Yeah.
You know,
it's something, I mean, I'm, you know, people are enlisting recommendations. Push your,
oh yeah, recommendations.
Here, I got it. Push your mic up. There you go.
I'm not coming through?
Oh, now it's much better. No, we just sound off because I talk like right into it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, no. But have you seen people do recommendations?
Yes.
And
wild shit.
The suggestions that they get back.
Yeah.
It's like, it's because when you grew up where I grew up, like, there are people suffering. It's like a poor, it's a poorer and like, but we'll just say like white working class, basically. It's just, it's actually not even particularly white. It's just working class area. And a lot of people will volunteer to, like, they'll be like, oh, you want this done? Hey, I'll come over and do it for, you know, whatever price. And you're like, oh man, I just want to get in there.
Looking for someone that's proficient with Volkswagen engines. And then, yeah, some guy's like, oh, I can do that for like $60, man. They're going to rip you off.
Yeah. Then he like pours sugar in it to see if it, like, you're, sometimes you pour some sugar in the oil. Helps it out a little bit. Like, just something fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like a roofer. Like, if you put, I'm looking for recommendations for a roofer, 10 guys will pop into your fucking thing and be like, I'll do it. You buy me the stuff, give me 2 cases of beer and $200 and I'll get this thing done for you.
Well, But that's also how shit gets done for real, though, because that is kind of opening up more connections is what it is. Because like my dad always knew guys that knew how to do shit if he didn't know how to do it. Like he knew a guy that could pull an engine out of a car. If he ever had to get the engine out, he had a friend that was capable of doing that. And he knew a guy that like laid carpet and had all the tools for that, you know, like, so it is kind of, it's good to spread that knowledge around, but there is also on Facebook a lot more shit talkers. There's a lot more bad eggs that can get in front of people and kind of ruin this new connection.
Yeah, because I'll let people know that I can do something, you know, even if I can't. If I was broke and me and you weren't doing this radio show and I wasn't married, I'd probably be on there being like, I'll come put your roof on, man. Even though I didn't know what I was doing, just because I need money, you know. A lot of people need money and they don't necessarily have the skills, but they'll say that they do.
Oh yeah, I mean, and that's a lot of doing it. That's where we're at, is that people do just have to get something.
Yeah,
the same with the marketplace too. It's like, ah, oh, fuck, man, we paid way too much money for that prom dress just because she really wanted the Jessica McClintock, and now that $300 is something we wish we had back. So we'll put it back up on a Facebook Marketplace for $275.
You're not gonna get it back. You're not gonna get the $70 that you paid.
These True Religion jeans were $340, so I think $250 is probably a good place to start. Like, no, not for ones that your ass has been all over. Not in this Facebook Marketplace. I like it when they get cut down. I don't do commenting, and I really should, because I'm very critical but honest and direct, and kind of get people to kind of snap out of their bullshit. But I would love to start. I need to start commenting and just being like, get the fuck out of here. Because the people that do that, I applaud every single time. I'm always like.
Yeah.
When they jump in and they're like, this fucking bullshit belt buckle wasn't worth shit when it came out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no shit, yeah. I mean, even when you paid all that money for it, it wasn't worth even that money. It was garbage.
Right.
You know what I mean? You bought garbage at the store. Almost everything you buy is garbage, especially your clothes. Like, as soon as you buy your clothes, they're clothes for you, but they're garbage for every other person.
Yeah. I mean, I do, and I get a lot out of thrift stores, and I mean, we have a problem with people wearing clothes too little, but, like, the prices are just, get out of here with that bullshit, man.
No, yeah, you can't, just give it to the thrift store and let the thrift store make a few bucks off of it, you know? They'll charge a fair enough price, and they know what's good. They can sift out all your trash.
No, I got these really nice Nike socks I got. I mean, I paid $14 for them. I'll take 6 right now if anybody wants to come over and get them.
Socks.
Yeah.
See, I see the socks and underwear hanging up at the thrift store, and I'm like, oh, man, I weep for the person that has to buy the socks and underwear. Like, the person that buys the socks and underwear from the thrift store, they're why I do what I do.
Yeah.
You know, they're why I'm fighting this war. It's like, you should never have to buy your socks and underwear off of Facebook or out of a thrift store.
Yeah, I wonder if we could do something like buy packs of underwear and staple them to the underwear at the thrift store so that it's like comes together as one thing, so that someone only has to pay for the thrift store underwear price for some Hanes, you know?
Okay. I like that. I do.
Or MeUndies. That's our sponsor this week, is MeUndies.
We'll mail you our old underwear, MeUndies.
Now, that's another thing. That's how you make money on eBay if you're a lady.
Yeah.
If you want to go there.
Man, I wish, like, that would be if I could sell my drawers, I would totally do that.
Look into it. You know?
I don't think anybody wants my underwear.
It's a different crowd. Hey, you think people are creepy about your comedy? Wait until it's your drawers.
Yeah, if there is a person out there that wants my underwear, you can DM me and I'll mail them to you, but it's not worth it.
I got a pair of socks that I've just haven't taken off for 8 days, and they would just stand up stiff if I took them off because there's so much soot in them. And if you like that, I got them.
Put it on in the special. Store. Put it in the store. Let's go to the Street Fight store and we'll put in their underwear. Our underwear and socks. Just
we can do
thing.
Better merchandise than that, I think.
We don't have to do. That's the thing. We don't have to. I just want you listeners to know that I will sell you
anything. not for people, not for other people, not for MeUndies, because it's an awful way to get underwear.
If you were at a bar and one of our listeners were like, oh, I kind of crapped in my underwear.
You'd sell them yours?
I'll sell you mine for $5.
I mean, that's friendly. That is very friendly.
I'm a friendly guy, man. Yeah. I'm a comrade. I think I'd say I'm a Conrad. And honestly, I give them away for free. I'm going to start, for you listeners out there at the live shows, I'm going to start carrying an extra pair of underwear for you.
If you shit your pants, I'll give you my underwear. That's your creed.
Yeah. That's a good creed. I mean, it's something.
It's better than shirt off your back.
Yeah, because it's more personal.
I gave someone the shirt off my back at a bar one time.
I would be so mad at you if you took your shirt off when we were hanging out at a bar.
Yeah. So Facebook Marketplace, the verdict is
plus. What is it?
I sold my TV on there, actually.
I got a TV in my basement, right? It's one of those old big TVs, like an enormous Sony TV.
Oh, the thick one.
And I put it on. So I put it on Craigslist and I was like, $50.
Okay, fair enough for a TV. I mean, that gets you in the game.
Nobody wanted it. Woo. And then so I put on Facebook free. And then people would contact me and I'd be like, I need you to understand that I'm not going to help you carry this.
Wow. So wow.
I couldn't sell it.
Here's a link to the gig offered section of Craigslist. You can hire somebody for $15 an hour to help you take this to your house.
I don't want to carry that TV. I'm going to leave it in the basement if I move too. That TV is going to become the artifact in the basement forever. It'll be like, he brought a TV down here and he never looked at it again. After the apocalypse, that thing's still going to be sitting in that spot.
Yeah. I agree. I've abandoned plenty of like a 36 inch Trinitron, just been like, nope. That thing weighs too fucking much.
Yeah, science really did help out with the smaller TVs, man.
Yeah, that's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we gotta
thank you, science.
Thank you, science. Hey, look, you know, we may not agree on things like the shape of the Earth or chemtrails,
right?
But we do agree with you on good job making MTV small.
Oh, I did want to say on the show last week, you said that gravity was like. Didn't you say that gravity was like a bucket getting swung around?
Yeah, was that wrong?
That was wrong. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't say that's what gravity was.
Gravity wasn't. I want to explain something. I wasn't saying that. I was saying that I can see how something spinning would hold water in
because
of that. I said that wrong. I'm sorry to you listeners out there.
Right.
I know that pissed you off. Right. No. Not you personally. You were probably like, yeah, that's probably how it works.
Yeah. But no, I just hold my tongue and I'm like, and then when I listen to it back, I'm like, should have said something, but not really. I don't give a shit.
No, you're fine, man. You know, you don't need to correct me. We're good. So did you, I guess like, the Mike Pence thing that happened last week, earlier, I don't know when it happened last week. This is the first time I'm actually thinking about it because I have an article.
Okay.
But the eating dinner with your wife.
Yeah.
Or eating dinner with a woman. Okay, for the listeners out there, Mike Pence, every one of you knows this. I don't know why I'm explaining.
You gotta do it because it's the radio thing to do.
I'm explaining it for the new people that maybe don't know this. My wife doesn't know nothing about Mike Pence.
My wife has no idea. My wife would be pissed to hear this too.
Yeah, Katie. Kate, this is for you, Katie.
This is for you, our sweet ladies. We got to stand up for him if nobody else will.
This explanation of this thing is just for my wife. She listens to every single week. So I'm just giving her the explanation here. Mike Pence won't let his wife eat dinner with another man unless he's there. Am I getting that right? Is that the gist of this? And then
he won't eat dinner with a woman alone either.
He doesn't think that men and women can eat dinner alone. And really, the real reason is because Mike Pence is such a hunk. Every time he sits down with a woman, she starts trying to take his clothes off.
Yeah, well, no, she just runs her leg up his calf, you know, under the table, you know, and he can't help himself.
So, and then it comes out like a bunch of weirdos on Twitter were like, hey, I'm with him. You know what I mean? I'm with this Mike Pence, you know?
Yeah.
Who was it? Eric Erickson.
I didn't know.
It. Yeah, this he's a conservative radio show host. He was like, I wouldn't do it either. Like, this is crazy. This it's is fucking, crazy that people are doing this.
It's juvenile. It's fucking juvenile. And this is coming from people that don't have friends, that can't engage with people, and probably don't have any real friends in their life, you know? Because, like, when you're a horny-ass kid, this kind of shit makes sense a little bit. You know, it's because, like, if I get alone with a girl, I mean, I'm not really worried about what my relationship's like. You know what I mean? And so, but, like, to not have colleagues that you go out and can be friends with and not think of them sexually is fucking, is a problem.
I mean, it's weird is what it is.
And it's it excludes women too, because this is how they get away with doing golf cart. They do get to go to the golf ranges and hang out with each other and drink bourbon and smoke cigars and have lunches and shit with junior male executives is fine. That's completely fine, because if it was a junior female executive, he'd be sexually harassing the shit out of her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exact. You're right. Yeah. And like, Here's the thing that irritates me. Here's the weird thing. Here's the thing that makes one of the pieces of this that pisses me off is that, like, they look at us like we're weird because we can eat dinner with a woman.
because my wife isn't named after me. Like, she didn't become my name, like my property.
Yeah, mine didn't either. Listen, though, she's still my wife. My wife. We don't believe in the names thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not that pressed. I'm not that pressed about it. It was absolutely meaningless to me.
Back when I was a young dumbass, I used to say I would never marry a woman unless she's taking my last name. You know,
well, like, that's just something to yell out loud to be a real asshole
when you're like drinking and you're hanging out with all your idiot friends.
Yeah, you're plotting your life out, man. You're kind of shooting, you know, what direction you're heading in. I sure as hell ain't putting up with none of that hyphenated name shit.
No, it's not happening, man. I'm the king of this castle and you're going to have my last name.
I think it's a sweet little Mayberry type thing. I think, you know, I understand it. It's like, heavens no, I wouldn't dare court with a younger man without my Mike Pence there. You know what I mean? But it's like, you people are supposed to be adults that handle, like, big problems, like, that deal with the entire unit, like the entire globe. Like, you are making these decisions. You need to talk to a woman by herself sometimes. Julie, you got to see what Julie is thinking as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You have to go and talk to a Kayla. You have to go spend some time alone the same way that you do with, you know, other fucking bros. It's ridiculous.
Broskies. Yeah. Broskies. They can be your bros, actually. Women, you know what I was thinking about the other day?
And it's totally a property thing. It's totally a fucking Islamophobia bullshit. All of that, like, religion that subjects women to rules like that is totally revolves around subjugating women. That's what all that religious bullshit's about, you know?
I hate religion.
Of the doctrine, all of the dogma stuff is always, the most traditional of it is just subduing women subduing women, really.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, look.
It's weird. I don't know, man. I respect it if somebody wants to live that life because, you know, I spend a lot of time with my wife and I don't really, you know, me and you don't do a lot of, guys' nights out. Like,
we're
couples people. Like, we hang out with a lot of other couples and some single people, as long as they don't bring around sketchy ass
weirdos,
new people. Yeah.
We don't like weird new people with new rules that, like, actually what it is they'll say something and I'll be like, oh, that person's a dumb idiot.
Or like bring somebody over that, like, wants to play guitar when everybody else is talking. Wants to grab a guitar off the wall and is like, you know, my hopes are so high that your kiss might kill me. And just starts singing, belting it out.
On a dark desert highway.
Yeah. None of that shit.
That's,
man,
like a very bad experience when somebody does that. But this article, man, this guy wrote from the Federalist. His name's Hans Fein.
Oh, I like.
And he wrote an article called Why Men and Women Can Never Be Just Friends. And this article is his attempt at destroying the friend zone, which is another oh man, it sucks. Like, I understand people who feel that way.
It's a limited point of view.
Yes.
It has boundaries and barriers, and they've been set up for decades, like for centuries.
And,
right?
And it's, I think, in normal conversation with normal people, like, I mean, you know, not like people on Facebook, right? If you were talking to like your old friends that you grew up with, they would tell you, I mean, a lot of them would be like up with
uncomfortable.
This stuff, okay. Like they would be, and it's sexist as hell. And there's nothing like, and you want to fix
it's
it.
Super
you want to talk
society we live in.
Yeah. And you want to talk to people about it. But, like, they think you're weird.
Yeah.
I feel like I get shit because it's like, you'd let your wife go out to dinner with another guy? And I'm like, well, they're just eating. You know what I mean?
I would go and go to a cafe and drink coffee and talk about a book that I read with a woman and be completely okay with talking about the book, you know? It's just like, it's a limited point of view to think that you have to all the women have to be fucked and conquested. And then, and that you, how could you not find any value of having a female friend? Or, you know, I just don't, it's like, it's, you're so closed off at that point when you can't relate to women in the same way that you do dudes.
Half of the population.
Half the population, right.
You can't relate to the... And that's something we've been talking about, like, behind the scenes a lot on Street Fight, about, like, we need to get more women in the zine. We got to be better about getting women on the show and people of color and things like that. Like, we really... Because, like, when you just hear our point, it's a very limited point of view. That any, like, we see the world in one way, you know, two white guys see the world the way that two white guys see the world, or just living in it, like, you know, basically working class hillbilly guys. Is that's our perspective, and like, I,
yeah, because, well, yeah, and there, I mean, there has been some conversations online about that stuff right now. Not that I'm not paying attention to. I've seen just some mention of it. And it is kind of tough, and I know it's right. I mean, and it's not intentional, but, you know, what we're doing podcasting is, as two white dudes, is something that I don't expect, like, a black woman or a queer guy to go, and out of all the millions of podcasts, go listen to some white guys talk. I don't see why they would be that attracted to what we do, even though I know we have wonderful listeners that tick off every single bubble, you know. And
well, we want a place that's comfortable for everybody. I it's not a joke when I say that I want this to be a safe space, basically. I mean, it's not, I guess, like, it's a little aggressive for a safe space.
Sure.
But, like, we want all types of people to be included. And, like, the reason I brought this up right now is that, like, I want to hear perspectives that aren't mine on the world. I think it's even more interesting the more diverse that you get the guests to be on the show, or even that write in a zine. I've been very bad, but, like, for some reason, not for some reason, you find yourself around white dudes because we're two white dudes that talk on the radio, and from the dawn of radio, white dudes have liked to listen to other white dudes talk on the radio. You know what I mean? That's who listened to Howard Stern. That's who, like, all the biggest radio hosts out there were white dudes with a bunch of white dudes listening to it.
Yeah.
And the only thing we can do, we try to have a message that's counter to any of that stuff, to like, let people know that there's another way that you can think about doing this sort of radio.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what it is. Just to keep pulling the curtain back, I guess. But, like, carving out a place, you know, where, you know, we don't have any other entertainment to go to that doesn't enforce, like, our white dude behavior. It just, everything else is focused in, like, the Mike Pence type way towards our shit. So we are developing a space where, you know, you can hang out and you don't have to listen to racist shit, and you don't have to listen to any weird queer jokes or weird any jokes about women, or you don't have to, no one's going to talk about, no Street Fight listener, I swear on everything, I swear on this flat earth, has ever said something about, like, that, how a woman looks when she walks away. Like, everybody I've met has never said any of that creepy shit about, like, what she's like in bed or anything.
No, miserable. I mean, I'm miserable around that stuff, too.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of the reason I do this show, is that, like, I want to cultivate a community that is like that, too.
Yeah.
I don't like it when dudes, like, I mean, if you and I are standing somewhere, right, and a woman shows up and then she walks away... Like, if you start, like, horning up on me, like, that makes me uncomfortable. I'm just not the type of person that does that. And I want, like, I do get horny. For you listeners out there that are wondering, does Brian get horny? Does Brian have sex? Yes, I do. I get horny sometimes, but I don't talk about it all the time. And part of that reason is because, like... Nobody wants to hear about my dick. But the other part of the reason is because a lot of times that manifests itself in an ugly way on radio, in comedy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I understand. We hear you, the people that have made those, you know, we aren't ignoring any of that. It's just, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I don't want to start counting people, but like...
No. I don't want to know you're that. And that's the other thing.
You mean
too.
Like what races everybody was that came on? Like, do Jewish people count as because they get a specific type of hatred? But so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's wild.
But what I want people to know. I think what we want people to understand is that, like, we're trying to. And I think that's another thing with the DSA, too, is they're trying.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to those meetings, it seems like the DSA is really aware that they're mostly white, you know, and they're trying to reach out to other people. They go to the Black Lives Matter marches and we do that, too. And it's like,
dude, in my personal DSA is completely held accountable to the People's Justice Project, which is our local Black Lives Matter organization. Literally have cross groups, they go to the meetings, and everybody is on message with that, and we show up to support that stuff. But yeah, it is a very white crowd, and you know, that's just because we all have the same similar interests, and we live in a pretty segregated society,
yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes. I mean, and it's the same thing. It's important that we have more people on, definitely. It's important that we have women on, and it's important that we have people of color on. It's just harder to do. I bring this up sometimes too, is like, our predecessors are Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony and Man Cow and Bubba the Love Sponge, like the people that came before us in like comedy sort of radio, you know, were assholes, and they would bring people in and they would, you know, rake them over the coals and make jokes out of them and make them look like idiots or even just they were racist. They were using them as a butt of a joke. And like, I think I could understand somebody like being like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to listen to this and I don't want to be on this show.
Yeah.
You know?
No. And I, you know what? I listen to Brilliant Idiots. I listen to The Read. I listen to Black Guy Who Tips. I listen to so many shows. There's so many conversations that happen on those where they don't want to hear our shit. And I understand that. I can understand why they would be hostile to what white dudes are saying. But like, while they're doing that, while I'm totally rooting for people, I just don't think that like Crystal from The Read, I don't think she wants anything to do with us. And I completely respect that. You know,
I want to stay out of their spaces, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, we've talked about the male feminist thing. Like, we're trying to stay out of your space.
Right.
We want you to do what you're going to do. We're just not going to sit around and not do anything.
Yeah.
So we're going to do what we're doing. And I think that's the way a lot of the dirtbag left, DSA, those people that I've met are saying, I'm going to do what I can do.
Yeah.
And all I can do is this. And I just, if we are trying, like they're trying, we're trying. It's not an exclusionary movement. I don't see racism when I'm out gathering with these people. And no. I've been in rooms with 200 of them.
I mean, I've hang around my Democrat friends. They'll start making comments about people that don't have college degrees. They'll start making comments about the way that someone does their fucking hair or how what they know about someone's, you know, financial situation based upon how they look. And I don't have any of that. I don't. And these people don't even listen to fucking Chapo Trap House or Street Fight Radio or Delete Your Account or This Is Hell. Like, it's absurd, the kind of shit, and it's just an online thing, I mean, that's happening right now, and it's obnoxious to me, because I don't give a fuck about any of this stuff, and just that is bubbling up.
I want to say that our listeners are good people.
Yeah.
And we're trying to be good people, because I feel like our listeners are under attack a lot of times with this type of stuff, or not under attack, but just there's a lot of assumptions being made about our listeners and the listeners to Chapo. And I just, they're not bad people. They're people that like to listen to white guys talk about leftist shit.
Yeah. Or, I mean, and you know, lady, I always like what Amber's input is as well. And, so I don't know. I think the whole thing is, you know, fine to talk about, and we hear you, but like the claims of exclusion and all that stuff is totally unfucking warranted. Smear campaign shit.
So do you want to hear this
dipshit made up shit?
We're back. We're going to go back into other stuff, but we're going to pull the curtain. We're pulling a curtain shut right now.
Yeah.
This guy put a few, he said, imagine that friendship is a good that people acquire in exchange for the currency of their time.
Wait, what was it again?
Imagine that friendship is a good that people acquire in exchange for the currency of their time.
Okay, I got it.
Don't take the magic out of the world.
It's a good?
It's a good.
Like, why wouldn't it be like a tree? I think it would be like a tree, and it grows stronger and the roots grow deeper.
It's like flour. It's like trading flour or like.
But imagine, I mean, I think we ran through like six friendship time credits just sitting back here on the porch. Oh, man. You're going to have to pay me back big time for those ones. I really wasn't expecting to do that. I had to get the lawn done, and it's too damn dark now, and you got me out here talking too much by the fence. So, yeah, that's going to cost you some friendship time credits.
Imagine you had to pay for friendship as though it were a utility, and how much, and the currency was your, like,
it's the Talkspace app.
It's a very uncomfortable, that's an uncomfortable.
It's that Talkspace app where if you're having like mental crisis, you can jump on an app and pay like $15 a month and just talk to anybody on text.
Ooh, I want to do that.
Yeah, it's a big, it's a podcast. It's a huge podcast sponsor. I don't like it because it gets a little too, when people on their podcasts get too offhand and they're like, yeah, man, if you're feeling fucked up about something, just get that Talkspace app. And it's like, no, I don't think we should be prescribing apps to people.
No, I'm not getting for healthcare. Talkspace. I feel like that information will get out.
But
you know?
I like the idea. The idea I make up in my mind is good. And like, I would get on an app and talk to somebody that was having wild feelings.
Like,
you
they
know?
Promise. They promise that Ashley Madison would never get out either. And then remember. When oh, that yeah. Shit.
That Duggar, man. Yeah. He got Duggered.
Yeah. Yeah, they he's the average man lives in a competitive friendship market where some forms of friendship appeal to him more than others and therefore get his business.
That's true.
This person is looking at the world like this, Brett.
That's true, man. It's all transactions. How are you spending your time? You're changing your time. What are you going to get out of it?
I want this guy from the Federalist. This is the type of dude that should have to take shrooms.
Take mushrooms. Yes, this is perfect prescription. I agree.
Your discreet friendship credits.
Yes. We have to shut that shit down with a dose of psilocybin.
Yeah, that'd fix him. That'd 100% that would. Fix him.
Yeah, well, he can relax. Think of how tight his shoulders are.
All the time. He's working out fucking complicated math problems in his head. How much do I love this person? How many grams of love do I have inside?
Surely it's
my
all
blood?
Quantifiable. Enough variables and enough time. You've got yourself an objective opinion.
Yeah, put it out there on the open market. Okay. Hey.
Okay, friendship credits. Got it.
What then is the average man looking for in a friend? Now, I like to think that I'm the average man. Do you think I'm the average man? I watch the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah.
I watch wrestling.
You love pork.
I love pork. I love bacon. Sriracha. I have a bottle of sriracha in my fridge and ranch dressing. I can't think of all the other stuff, but you know, I watch all the prestige dramas that I'm supposed to, the Boardwalk Empire.
You know, all the Marvel, In and Out.
Yeah, I've seen all the Marvels. I know football, the rules of football and baseball. I know some of the bigger players.
Yeah, you're every guy. You're Brian, every guy.
I'm the average man. And this is what I'm looking for in a friend.
Okay.
And I, you know, honestly, I'm the average. Here's the thing. I'm an expert on friends because I have a best friend, right?
Yeah, that counts.
We're experts. We're good pals because we fucking know what friendship is.
Yeah,
you know, we have powerful friendship.
We did trade in some of our friendship time credits, though. Like, we spent a lot of them together because we knew we could get more out of that than, like, going and doing pills in someone's basement.
Yeah, but instead of sitting in a room alone, which is the default setting of all men.
Yeah, that's true.
All men that don't have a friend are sitting at home like, oh, I wish somebody had a time credit to spare me.
And they just sit in a chair. They just sit in a chair and think, just ponder about why you know.
Yeah.
Why it went wrong.
Where's all my friends? Like, what the heck? It would be really great if I had a friend and I wasn't eating this hungry man dinner. I wasn't dipping a Hot Pocket in nacho cheese and doing my third watch through of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. I mean, it goes wrong.
Yeah. So here's the first thing that these are what people are looking for.
Got it.
In the average friend, man friend, me and you.
But only men? Or it's women. Women. Yeah.
You can be women too. I consider my wife like a kind of a friend.
Friend with benefits.
It's like a
friend.
But we fuck, though, so that's different. Friend with benefits. Well, I mean, I should have said that on the air. That's bad.
That's uncouth.
I talked to her earlier, but we do. We have. Well, I'm friends with your wife. I would say I'm friends with your wife. You know what I mean?
And you did mushrooms with her alone. I trusted you alone with my wife when you were on mushrooms and you went to the Giant Eagle looking for me.
Yeah, we went, but we were looking for you. They would be okay with that.
Yeah, because it was a search party situation.
But they would probably think that I was like the on time. The make the whole time. Yeah. You know, I was fucking putting out my testosterone.
Yeah. You were trying to make it with her. You're like, hey, let's steal away into the bush real quick. Let's get, you know, like, oh, Brian, you're too handsy.
I mean, really, 50% of my friends are women because we're in. Everybody I know has a wife or a girlfriend.
I mean, yeah, these
for every man, there's a woman counterpart usually. And I even know a few more women from the radio.
These fucking people, they just can't deal with the cheating. Like, they just, people that they're with want to cheat on them so badly and they can't deal with it. They want to like lock them down, you know?
Well, this is what this guy thinks that would be a high value characteristic in a friend. Number one. Someone who shares his interests and activities such as, oh Jesus, this is embarrassing what he says.
Is it soap carving?
Watching movies where things explode.
What?
Playing video games where things explode, or putting fireworks in things so they'll explode. Bonus points if you enjoy yelling at football players through the television set and laughing at noxious flatulence.
Is this a satirical thing?
No. This is a guy that say this is what he thinks the average man is looking for in a friend. Like, every man is looking for a friend. This is the first requirement of
that.
Well,
that's you. That's what you said you are.
Right. I like that, but I don't want like every, like, I'm glad that none of my other friends are into that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, really almost all of our friends think that I'm an idiot when it comes to everything, all that stuff. And that means they're interesting.
I think,
you know?
I think that ultimately you should hide all your hobbies so that way you can protect yourself from other people's scrutiny. That's actually, I was super, like, that's how I did comic books and stuff and was able to maintain, like, not get my underwear pulled up the back crack of my ass, because I never told anybody I liked them, you know?
Like, always, whatever you're interested in, please hide that in a dark room.
Yeah. Don't be very secretive about it.
I just want to go through some of these things, though. Like,
okay. Watching, so, but he said that?
Yeah. So watching movies where things explode, yes, I like that. But I'm going to tell you something right now that might blow your fucking mind. So does my wife.
Yeah. I know POCs do, too, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my wife, like... My wife loves watching things. Like, every movie she suggests, like, she'll be like Central Intelligence. Like, she doesn't like Crank. You know what I mean? She doesn't go Crank, Fast and the Furious, but she'll watch an action comedy over any other movie. Pretty much.
Yeah, they're great.
Because they're the most fun movies that exist.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, dude bro opinion.
Well, if you're trying to just have fun.
I like to, like, put on, like, The Artist. Like, have you ever seen that silent movie? It's so great to sit down with your buds and have, you know, a little drink, some spirits, and watch The Artist.
No, it's you know what I would rather do? I've done this, actually. I know this is going to make a lot of this guy that we're talking about nervous. I made a Swiss cake roll with Brett's wife one day, and we watched Salt.
That's a good choice.
Nothing happened between us except for we watched Salt and enjoyed it and got high all day.
Yeah, that's a good one. One time a guy, I went to his house and he said he just got the Pink Floyd Live in Pompeii and he had mushrooms and he wanted to hang out. And I sat down and did that. And so that was a good friend.
And like, you didn't want to fuck him?
Either? No, I didn't want
to
fuck him.
You were trying to have sex with him?
No.
See, that's the thing. These guys don't ever allow for the possibility that some men want to have sex with another man.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. So the next thing he has there is playing video games, which is I don't even do that. I don't do that. And you don't do that in front of your wife. You're like, I don't want her to see me like this.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. It's just these things that are supposed to be manly. Playing video games isn't even like a manly macho thing to me. It's like.
Well, the gun ones are, I think, for some people.
Is that what they think?
Like, oh, he got 600 kills last night.
And there are women that like that shit too. That's what these people are fucking missing out, is that, like, women also like this shit. It's not a gender or sex based thing liking this shit. It's dumbasses. There's dumbasses of every color, people like, and gender.
These guys just keep saying it. Like these are the people that just keep, and it's the one that everybody's like, well, we've been saying this for a very long time, so why should we change?
Well, it's the most unlikable people in the history of the world that say this too. Like, this is what this guy said. This guy has never put a firework in something so it'll explode. That was the other thing. It's like, you motherfucker, you don't do that stuff.
Right.
That ain't you. You'd be afraid.
Yeah, but yeah. You think your buddy Roy gets pretty wild because he puts ghost pepper hot sauce on his oysters.
Yeah.
You know?
This Federalist
That's the firecrackers.
Hans Fein wants you to know the number two thing on this list is someone who won't pressure you to open up beyond your comfort level if his girlfriend breaks up with him, he loses his job, or his mom gets eaten by a Yeti.
Yeah, this is that miserable. This is the dad from that Goldman show. What is that? The one, the
I don't know.
Damn it. What's that show with the kids?
Goldbergs.
The Goldbergs.
Goldberg.
Yes.
That's probably where he got it too.
Yeah.
That
dad,
real.
Murray. Yeah, I mean, this reminds me of, like, my grandpa or my dad. Like, this is what they call stoic. Remember, they think guys are stoic, and it's like, just because they just are sitting there and in full rage mode inside of their head, just screaming at somebody or something, and just, like, this is what Facebook popped open all of this. We found out what was inside of their minds, and they're just stark raving mad in there, and they never let it out. And this guy's like, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And when
no drama.
I think I always like to reiterate, when we talk about that stoicism, it really means they're stupid and nothing's happening.
They're very simple.
Like, they're just a simple person that's quiet. I just, you talking about, yeah, you've told a story about somebody who people thought was stoic and smart that was just humming all day, humming to themselves. What a dumb shit.
Right.
Okay, number two, someone who won't pressure. Oh, no, that's, I already read number two. Duh. But I mean,
awful. Why are you supporting? Why are you putting this in the air? Just, I just want to make sure everybody knows the rules of friendship, okay? Yeah. He's a 40-year-old. How old is this fucking guy?
Hans Fein. He looks young. He looks like a young man.
What the fuck?
He's wearing a sweater vest in his picture with a tie.
Oh, God.
And a pink dress shirt. And he has, like, some facial hair. Because as a man that's trying to repopulate the earth, you have to have a little bit of facial hair.
Yeah, it's important.
Number three, someone who cherishes the man tradition of showing affection through insults and general jackassery. That's also not... I hate to break it to you, dude. Women just don't feel comfortable around you because you're a creepo, and they don't play around with your games. Because I've never met... Like, all the women I hang out with like to insult and stuff like that. It's fun. It's jackassery. They don't get their feelings hurt. That's how women feel around you, because they feel everything you do is malicious.
Yeah. I don't know. What was I going to say about that?
I like to like take apart some of those are the types of things I like to take apart on like those gender expectations.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, that's what, like, they're old school people that think they're old school just because they're treat everyone like shit and like they're dumb. You know, like that's dads, man. That's the old hellacious dad that we've had for like the last 100 years. The
heat wave dad. We'll call it a heat wave dad. That's what I call him. Like, there was the Chicago heat wave. Like, I recently told my kids this, my daughter and my wife this, and I probably have said it on the show before, but I'll just reiterate. In college, I read a book that was a social autopsy of a heat wave in Chicago that killed just a ton of people. And most of them were poor, but the other like unifying overwhelming trait was that they were old white men who had just cut off everybody in their life by being terrible. And like, just nobody wants to be around them. And I sat my wife and kids down, my kid down a couple months ago and said, like, I want you to tell me if I'm being like this so that I don't die in a heat wave when I'm old. And now they do. Now they let me know if I'm being a little too unavailable, because I want to be available for them. I don't want to, like, I live in a house with two women. And I don't want to shut them off. I want to have relationships with the people that I live in my house with.
Yeah. And I pressure all of my friends to get too emotional. That's the only way I like to be around them. Because I'm like, I can't trust you otherwise.
If you can't be emotional around your friends, then they're not your friends. Okay? And they're like, look at this jackass over here crying or something like that. Yeah. It's like, well, he's in a low spot right now. And like, again, this is not... This is not like some sense. This isn't coming from like some sensitive guy, safe space sort of place. This is coming from like,
you're a jackass. Stop being a fucking asshole.
Yeah, you're fucking stupid. You're abnormal. I'm normal as shit. Yeah. I'm not even that weird. Most people I know have women friends. It's this small little subset of fucking idiots that are the loudest people in the world, you know, and they. But and like this like Federalist
Cernovich
guy
and all the
and this fucking Federalist guy. This Federalist is one of the things Chapo's always on at. They like always give him Federalist shit. So
yeah, it's garbage. I mean, you're just trying to put rule. You're putting a cage on everybody else. Like nobody wants to hear this shit.
Yeah,
I think the problem is I don't know how many people are buying it, but then you do know that it's so indicative that people are at work saying like, "Phew."
Yeah,
I get along with a lady, they just can't help themselves, you know? You just have to, there's a lot of dumb shits out there. I mean, most of the world is dumb shits.
Yeah, I agree. I want to get this one last story in before we stop from Eminent Prof, Professor, okay.
Good on friend.
Twitter. He's a good Patreon boy. And it's from the New Orleans Advocate. I'm not going to read the headline. So we can see how this unfolds, Brett.
Interesting.
Sometimes you read the headline.
I know, and they give up the ghost.
They give up the goods, but sometimes you don't read the headline so you can play out a story.
Yes.
A Metairie Pizza restaurant owner was jailed Wednesday after he hurled plates at a worker.
Ooh, not good.
That he had just fired.
Okay.
Oh, man, the pop-up ads just came up on me.
Buy a new GMC truck this month.
It sounds to me... like we have ourselves a small business tyrant, baby.
Yeah, it does. Throwing plates?
Yeah.
That's really old school. That's some 70s work.
Yeah.
That's why our parents are like, it ain't so bad at work.
He also hit him with a wooden dustbin. I don't know what that is. Trying to think of what a wooden dustbin.
The scraper thing, like the but why wouldn't they make those out of wood?
No, they don't. I don't know what this would, but I mean,
a trash can.
Listen,
if somebody threw a trash can at
it. You're going to the police about your small business tyrant boss, go ahead and throw some lies in there anyway. You know what I mean? What the hell? You know, Adam Maritzan, the owner and chef at Stella Pizzeria and Restaurant, faces one count of simple battery following the incident. He was released from the jail due to overcrowding Wednesday on a $500 bond. So they let him out. He left a message with reporters Friday night saying there was more to the story than the police.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm going to say first glance, sounds like this guy's garbage. But I will hear anybody out.
You want to hear his side of the story.
I will.
Like, this show never gets the small business tyrant side of the story out. We always assume that we have it, and we make them sound like the world's biggest dummies.
Right, right. So this is our chance to get a real small business tyrant on the show.
And he says, you don't know what happened, what the employee did to me, what kind of insult he did to me.
Okay.
He cussed me out. So the employee did cuss him out.
Oh, I was thinking like altercation or bodily fluids. Like, that's when you're allowed to throw plates at anybody.
Yeah, no.
If somebody spits on, if you quit on somebody and you spit on your boss and that boss whoops your ass, I'd be like, should have spit on him.
He was mean to a small business tyrant, which is
Brian Quimby move.
Yeah, yeah. But the small business tyrant wasn't like
mine.
He
yelled a cuss.
He yelled and cussed at the guy, and the guy deserved it. Now,
a farting beehole. People get all warbly voiced and shit when they go and do that too.
Oh,
and always,
God.
You get the worst the worst insults come out when you do that shit sometimes.
Yeah, that's why my little piece, don't try to be creative.
Yeah.
Use
for
the
brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick and brutal. Don't get descriptive. Don't try to explain yourself why you're yelling, you know, because you'll be screaming and it's like, oh, fuck, I got a whole paragraph of things to say. I don't think I can keep up the emotion and make everybody pay. You know, like, I can't keep everybody on message.
Yeah. I did five word do it yourself, bitch.
Right. That's good.
It's like that got the message across. And, you know, the salad dressing helped. But, like, this guy probably did basically the same thing. I mean, he'd been worked up. I could guarantee he'd been worked up as hard as I was that whole time.
Sure.
Like, just ratcheting up all the pain and like, trying to get me going fucking crazy. According to the sheriff's office, Zen was dissatisfied with the subordinate's work performance and dismissed him at about 7:20 p.m. Wednesday. The terminated employee alleged that Zen began throwing food dishes at him before grabbing a wooden dustbin and strike him in the back with it as he walked out of the restaurant. He's like a wrestler. Like, he grabbed the trash can and smashed him on the back with it on his way, because that's fresh. I mean,
that's fair game.
That's a little funny. The unidentified worker declined medical attention for a minor laceration on his upper back, but he called the sheriff's office and told deputy that he wanted to pursue charges against. Hey,
okay.
You know what? This guy, this fucking tyrant, I can guarantee that he's in the wrong. I can 100% just from my side. Like, just looking at this, I know. I just know he's mean. I know that he just was mean all day. He was yelling all day at
this anybody that crosses that line, man, is a fucking asshole. I mean, you have to be a complete piece of garbage to do that. To throw a plate at somebody, like I said, unless they're, like, being physical or spitting on you, getting you to eat poop or something.
Yeah, you can cuss out your boss when you leave without a physical altercation happening, I feel.
Yeah, you're allowed to scream fuck you to their face as loud as you want.
I just love
make their ears rattle.
I just love this story, though. I love the story I draw in my head, like the vision I have of how that happened, like what kind of shit happened at that place before.
Oh, I know. All day long. How many hours they had been working?
Yeah, he's probably paying them like $1 more than minimum wage, maybe.
Yeah,
just demanding like demanding 12-hour days on the weekends.
And pizza makes the world go round, but pizza is also something that can be automated. Like, you can learn to throw dough and just be plugged in at most places, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good skill to have to know how to make some pizzas.
Pizza is just a place you can get if you want to make pizza, that's a job you can get, at least where I'm from. You know, pizza
where
shop.
I come from.
Where I'm from.
A pizza's a job you can get.
I worked at Chuck E. Cheese. I did some time. And Angie's Pizza. I did some
time. I used
time
to make them Fazoli's
pizza
pizzas.
Right on. Both of the hosts of the show made pizza. That's another, like, that's a service industry badge. When you've made yes. it through the service industry, you have to do pizza, you have to do a regular restaurant, and you should do fast food. Okay, yeah. You should have worked in fast food. You got to tick all those boxes out to be a well-rounded individual.
Yeah, regular restaurant is important. Fast yeah. food. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and then pizza. Yeah, I think yeah. that's a good. That's
the three. The three like service jobs that right. everybody should have to do. Like, that's perfect. In the food industry, then you should have to be a laborer for like a month. Like at any kind of roofing place or okay. whatever, you know what I mean?
You're saying you can trade in your friendship time credits yeah. as for no, labor time.
6 months. Okay. 6 months as a service employee in the service industry, 6 months in the low end of the labor, like the out, like warehouse and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How's that feel? Like, how's that feel? Like, 1 year out of your life?
Just, no. I mean, that's so out of touch with what makes the world go round.
You don't think that would be good? Just every single person has to do that?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like nearly enough time.
Okay, yeah, but
we
I
got
mean,
years.
We're
of
never going
to
talk people into doing
get done.
I guess the amount of time that you would spend in college would be that would just get rid of college.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could do also. You could make pizza and also study like Foucault and smoke joints and do drugs and shit. Get it out and then decide how you want to unleash yourself on the world.
True. All right, man. Well,
I mean, that's what most people are doing, though. I mean, that's the sad thing is a lot of kids. I mean, there are a lot of kids that have to work their way through college still. It's not like an elite type thing. That's what a lot of people are doing to get by.
I mean, we live by campus. We live yeah, by Ohio yeah. State and every place, every service.
Going to
places.
School and working. There's no way I couldn't do it. I couldn't go to school and work. It was ridiculous.
I had a rough time. And like a lot of them go school full time and work part time, which is, I mean, the school expects, I think, 2 hours for every credit hour, I believe yeah, they say.
Something ridiculous.
A week. So you basically have a full-time job plus a part-time job. And they're like, you know, you're going to make it, though. It's like,
yeah, just do this for 4 years.
Yeah.
Just all live right. like this, redlining
right.
it.
All right, people. I think we had a good time tonight.
Yeah, late night, get down. We got a little more honest, more in the cut this time. But, you know, we are listening and we pay attention and we want to be the best Street Fight Radio that we can be. And we'll continue to do that as long as y'all keep supporting us. You got to come out to Columbus, Ohio for 420, the drug show. It's going down at Trees over there in Grandview.
It's the tree bar for you people that live here. It's the tree bar.
The You'll tree bar. It. And, and we're going to smoke weed. We're going to try to get some weed. I want to roll some joints and shit. Maybe find a place where we can meet up and smoke.
I mean, I can't smoke. Like that's the issue. The issue here is that I can't smoke.
Free smoke, free
smoke.
I was
thinking maybe we could march from somewhere.
March?
Like, we get a crew of people together and walk from somewhere.
Okay.
To the venue if they'd like to. And then maybe on the way there, just, you know, be discreet. You know?
Okay.
That might be a possibility. I don't really know. Well, and then you're not on anybody's property and you're not, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll keep you posted.
You can buy tickets to the show. It's $5 to get in. Store.streetfightradio.com. And if you want to get the zine that we do every single month, or you want to get Kratom's every single month, go to Patreon, patreon.com/streetfightradio to sign up for rewards. We send them out every single month. We've been keeping it moving. The zines are getting printed on time. The Kratom is coming in kilos at a time. And we are a well-oiled machine. We're ready to keep moving this thing onward and upward. And it's only going to happen when more people like y'all jump on board and help us spread this mess across the U.S. We'll see you in a few days. We are Street Fight. Peace.